Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is our Bracket Rundown show. Season finale of Bracket Rundown show is coming to you here during Championship Week, Monday, March 8th, a little after 9:30 p.m. Eastern. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, all-star cast with us, and a puppet, David
Yeah,
Gray.
Chad, unfortunately, we can hear you much better right now.
Yeah, we fixed my audio problems from the last couple of nights, too. We got David Griggs, the puppet, on one side of me, John Tytel on the other side. Down below me in the center square is John Stalica. To his side, Joby Fortson and Mike Cha. Down in the bottom row, all by himself down there, is Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org. I guess he's kind of the outlier on tonight's show or something. I don't know why you're down there.
I'm in the bunker, Chad. Just hanging out down here.
You're in the bunker.
Don't say bunker.
It's not the puppet bunker, though. His bunker has beer and pizza and... David has stale bread and, you know,
they're storing petri dishes in here, Jeff.
Lukewarm water.
If I knew I was going to be the center square, I would have brought Alf and Shadow Stevens with me.
Anyway, this is our Bracket Rundown show. What we are going to do, I'm going to pull up here in half a second, the field of 68 that we are going to be revealing. What I did was I asked each of the seven of us here, myself included, to submit a 1 through 55 seed list that I then scored against each other. We ended up coming up with a consensus field through the end of the at-large bids. Beyond that, in terms of the teams below the at-large bids, I went ahead and chose them myself, not quite at random. I did try to, you know, put them in some sense of order.
Yeah.
And so what we're going to do is reveal where our consensus field is from in a kind of selection Sunday selection show style, although we're not going to do a matchup at a time. We're going to go a team at a time in the correct order through the first 16 teams and then one seed line at a time.
Jay, can I make a few points real quick?
Maybe. Go ahead.
Okay. We are not trying to guess the committee with this particular exercise. This is our own bent. It's what it would be if we were the committee. Chad knows what the bracket is. Nobody else does, unless you showed it to somebody. Did you show it to anybody?
I didn't show it to anybody. Honestly, I had to make a couple last minute changes based on the couple upsets in the smaller bid conference service. So I don't even really know the bracket right now myself.
Right.
Slika, no, we are not going in alphabetical order either. A quick note, because we're recording this 9:45 p.m., a couple games that are going on late tonight are obviously not factored in. Obviously, the Gonzaga game, which they should end up winning. They're up 14 as we record this. The late BYU game not factored in. You know, there may be some auto bids that get upset also in the late games tonight, for example. We'll probably see Northeastern in this field if they happen to lose tonight. That obviously would change, but we got to do this at some point, so we're doing it. So I guess on that note, let's start with the number one overall team. And it is, I guess a little drum roll here maybe, but number one overall team, no surprise, I don't think, that the undefeated Gonzaga Bulldogs are number one overall. Although, Rocco, let me bring you in here. Is it as much of a slam dunk as it was a week ago with this Gonzaga team, given what Baylor did in the last week?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting question because I think, you know, if Baylor goes on and wins the Big 12 tournament, they'll have the double in the Big 12. You can say that loss was based on their comeback from COVID. So I could see the case to be made to put Baylor ahead because they'll have more wins in all the quadrants and more overall board wins. They already have three more board wins right now than Gonzaga. But I think the sheer fact that Gonzaga is completely unblemished and basically have blitzed everybody except for West Virginia, it's really almost not fair to knock them off the one line.
Well, David, I wouldn't knock them off the one line. I might.
I'm talking about number one overall.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying. But like, I actually had Baylor ahead of them, and I really like both of them. But Baylor's paper is historically good. I mean, I know Tytel and Rocco in Stalica. Some of you might know the trivial history of this, but have we ever had anybody get 1, 2, 3, 4 road wins, not just wins, true road wins against protected seeds? Has anybody ever done that?
And you have to throw it, if they win the Big 12 title, you're going to add in two more neutral court wins against protected seeds in all likelihood.
Yeah.
Not their quarterfinal, which will likely be TCU, but the semifinal of the championship game in the Big 12, which will be insane.
Generally speaking, you need a road win against a protected seed to get a one seed. I think Xavier got one and didn't do it, but generally speaking, that's a box you have to check. Baylor has checked it four times.
Obviously, Baylor's number two overall. I don't think there's any doubt about that from the discussion we just had. But Mike, let me bring you in here. You are our Michigan guy, and at number three overall is your, are your Wolverines. Do they have a chance? I don't know if they have a chance to move up to number two overall, but how strong are they in that number three overall in your position?
Right now, they're pretty strong at that number three spot, but a key injury. They had a key injury yesterday. Guard Eli Brooks hurt his foot, and his status is unknown for the Big Ten tournament. So I think for now they're solid number three overall, number one seed. But if they lose early in the Big Ten tournament, they could slip to the fourth number one seed.
Okay, you don't think there's any chance they fall off the one line, though, correct?
I don't see it happening, because in the quarterfinals they would face either Maryland or Michigan State on a neutral court, and those, and you know, a loss to either team wouldn't be a bad loss.
How would that be to end the season on back-to-back losses to Michigan State, though? That would not be a good feeling, I don't think, for Wolverine fans. But number four overall, Joby, Illinois coming in here to finish off the one line.
I agree. And the key to me was, when we'll talk about Oklahoma State's victory the same way, I think they're very similar in winning without your big gun shows that you're more than just one player. And that impresses me. Beating Michigan in the process is even more impressive. I do have Michigan right now ahead of Illinois, but I disagree with Mike. I think if Illinois wins the Big Ten tournament, thus Michigan not winning the Big Ten tournament, but if Illinois wins the Big Ten tournament, I think they make the case to become third overall, especially because of the recent win without DeSumo over the Wolverines.
Joby, I did say Michigan could slip to the fourth number one line if they crap out early.
I think even a championship game where Illinois beats Michigan, I think Illinois gets the three in that particular case if they beat Michigan, even if it's Michigan making the finals.
That's a good point, because then they would be 2-0 against Michigan head-to-head, and you can't argue against that, and both away and neutral, away from home.
Yeah. But right now, let's say another team, Iowa, Ohio State, et cetera, wins it, then I think Michigan maintains their spot ahead of Illinois.
Well, number five overall, Tytel, is Iowa. And so that's kind of brings up that question. If Iowa wins the Big Ten tournament, do they have a road to eclipse Michigan and or Illinois out to that one line?
I think they do. And to be honest, I never thought of a second Big 12 team cracking the top four. But I'm telling you, if a West Virginia or an Oklahoma State or somebody or Kansas or Texas, there's so many tier 1A wins to be had, that I agree this is probably set in stone with the one line, and I agree Iowa can move up, but I don't think it's just Iowa. I think there's many teams in play for the one.
Yeah, I'll just bring up real quick here. This is the Big Ten bracket. As you can see there, Iowa would have a Wisconsin, Illinois, and Michigan win for potentially in the Big Ten tournament. Illinois could have a Rutgers, Iowa, Michigan win. There's so many big wins there.
Yeah,
And I'll pop the Big 12 up also. Here's the Big 12 that he mentioned too, but go ahead, David.
Well, Iowa's path to winning the tournament would mean beating two current number one seeds. And I would think they'd have to jump over at least one of them. Anyway, who knows? But we're on to the Big 12 now. Pretty soon I'll be making a point about Gonzaga, who we started with. I'll try and keep up from now on.
But Tytel mentioned the Big 12 tournament as well. But you look at that, West Virginia could beat a Baylor, an Oklahoma State, a Baylor, and a Kansas to win the Big 12 tournament. Kansas could beat an Oklahoma, a Texas, and a Baylor to get there. It's crazy. Those two tournaments are just going to be insane this week. But let's take a look here. Sleek, let me bring you in. Number six overall is not a Big 12 team, though. It ended up being Alabama out of the SEC.
You figure you had to reward Alabama or even a team like Arkansas, who's been rising real fast in the rankings right here. But Alabama, the Tide, they've been pretty consistent all year. I mean, it looked kind of a surprise early in the year when they were having success in the quote-unquote Maui on the mainland in Asheville, but they maintained their course in the SEC. They weren't necessarily one of those comets that the puppet likes to talk about that's hot for two or three weeks and then just fades off into the sunset.
Yeah, can you pull them up, Chad?
If they had beaten teams like Oklahoma, for example, and Missouri on the road, they could be close to a one themselves, but I would say number six overall is about right.
I had them on the two. I don't think I had them as high as a six. We have some people that really like this Alabama team, I guess. But it's a solid resume. And while Arkansas was not on the road, Arkansas has won a lot of road games. So you got to give them quite a bit of credit for that. And it's pretty clean. I know Western Kentucky doesn't look good as to where it's positioned on the paper, but Western Kentucky is still a really good team. I don't six overall. Did that seem high to anyone else? Well, probably not, since it's a committee and that's where we put them.
Yeah, obviously there were people that had a rate even higher than six, David, to get there. But I don't know that nobody had them in the one line, but I think it was fairly consistently on the two line across the board. And sometimes when you get to a committee like this, you may have such a split among other teams that the one team that ends up being the consensus kind of ends up moving up a spot, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Rocco, let me bring you back in. At number seven overall, all the way over there in the West region, we have Ohio State. So already our fourth Big Ten team through the first seven.
Yeah. And, you know, Ohio State was just sitting at five for a while. And I also had them seven. So I agree here. I think you can't ignore, despite the four game losing streak, you can't ignore the six quad 1A wins. That's tied for the most in the country with Baylor. And I think you look at, you know, the body of work, they're still 15-8 against the top three quads. They're over 500 in every area by a good margin after you get to the second quad. So, and a great road win at Iowa really kind of carries the strength of the resume and at Illinois. So,
yeah. And David wants to talk about those quad one road wins and the tier 1A road wins. There's six of them sitting there. It's it's so impressive, but it's just offset by those losses at Minnesota and at Northwestern.
That pulls them down a little bit. Rocco mentioned the losing streak. Another thing that you can't overlook is that the losses were to Michigan, Illinois, and Iowa.
And Michigan State.
Which is maybe a bit of a clunker by two seed standards, but the other three, no.
Given what Michigan State's been doing over the last few weeks, Ohio State's part of the reason they're going to be in this field, no problem, I predict, tonight.
At
number eight overall, maybe there it is, Titel. There is that second Big 12 team, the number four seed in the Big 12 tournament, but a number two seed in the NCAA tournament, according to our field here, the West Virginia Mountaineers.
I mean, who else do you want them to beat? Oklahoma State, Texas Tech twice, Kansas at Texas on the road. Granted, like, they've had some losses, but they've all been to pretty good teams, so I think this is right about where they belong.
Right. It's just amazing that you have two teams that finished above them, at least according to seeding, in the Big 12 itself, with both Texas and Kansas being the two and the three seeds in that conference tournament.
Patience, we'll get to those teams pretty shortly.
We will. Let's go to the three line here. Number nine overall. Mike, let me bring you back in. This is not one of those Big 12 teams. This is their second SEC team already. The red hot Arkansas Razorbacks. I think I said the other night they'd won 12 in a row against SEC teams. They did lose their SEC Big 12 challenge game in the middle there. But how about the Razorbacks and where they're suddenly sitting at the top of the three line?
I definitely agree. Arkansas has just been rock solid all year. You know, no bad losses at all. And they're hot. I mean, they're hot at the right time. And in my opinion, with Villanova slipping down a little bit, you know, someone's got to go up, and that team is Arkansas.
Right. And Joby at number 10 overall, right behind them. This might be a team that gets a little bit of debate here, I think. But we end up putting Houston in. It's kind of one of those teams that's tough to seed because of the conference they play in.
Yeah, Houston has a very low floor compared to all these other teams.
Yes.
And not a high ceiling. They cannot mess up. Now, here's the interesting thing with Houston as we look at them. Now, their out-of-conference was great. Their in-conference has not been wonderful, has not been even probably three-seed level, but it's those early wins that against Texas Tech and Boise that steadies the ship. The thing to watch is that the Americans championship game is at 3:30 on Sunday. The cake will be baked at that point. I know everybody talks about contingency brackets. Let me just call right now. BS. I've seen it too many times where a late game on Sunday has zero effect, except if a team is now in that would have been out. That's really all that it is. If Houston makes that final, I think they'll remain on the three line. But They've got possibly Memphis, as you can see coming. They should get past Tulsa, but they've lost to them in the past. So, you know, I think Houston, it will be three bound if they can win their first two games, but don't necessarily rack that up, as East Carolina will tell you.
Yeah. Can I jump in real quick, Joby said,
because a few years ago, Michigan and Wisconsin played each other and it was a 7-8 seed. And they said, the committee said afterwards, oh, if whoever wins will be the 7 and the loser will be 8. So it was just an easy thing to do.
Easy flip. But Dave, one second, I want to ask Ty to tell this because you are our committee guessing expert. If it ends up being, let's say, Houston and Wichita State in the American final, are you going to change your bracket if Wichita State knocks off Houston, or are you going to just leave Houston right where they are?
I would probably leave Houston right where they are. But as far as Joby's comment about contingency, I agree for the most part. But I'm telling you, like, if SMU and Houston are, like, in a one-point game at, like, 5:29 p.m. on Sunday, like, you better have a contingency, right?
Well, you got to have it for that. If there's a
team outside the field, I agree 100%, John. Yeah. We saw it with Georgia a few years ago. There are instances. Yes. But I feel like we as prognosticators overrate it. We rely on it too much. But if it is a situation like Mike says, simple in A for B because they're in the same conference and similar seed lines, you can literally do a remove and replace Florida State, Virginia. That's possible, but I think we rely on it too much. Just like I think we overrate injuries, though. We're going to get to one that will have an
very, very soon. But David, okay. I got a comment before we move on.
Well, a couple. First, on the contingency brackets, and you know this, we know this because of doing the mock committee exercise, but the viewers may not. They select and seed, like, the seeding process is done before all of the teams are selected, so to speak. Like, they might seed the first 3-4 lines. And then after teams are seeded, procedurally, it isn't the easiest thing in the world to move them. It can be done, but you have to do what's called scrubbing. And without getting into the whole detail, essentially, 8 of the 10 members have to vote to move.
I'll correct you on that, actually. Scrubbing moves only require a majority vote.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. 6 of the 10 members have to vote to move a team. And generally, you'll get it sometimes, but not a lot. So once teams, when you look at teams at the 3-4 line, they tend to move less often than maybe somebody further down the bracket that may not have been seeded yet. The other thing, Houston themselves, I think 3 is a little high. When you look at their resume, they have losses to Tulsa and East Carolina, neither of which are in the bracket. They're probably going to be the only protected seed with multiple losses to teams outside the NIT range. And the top of their resume, while not bad, it doesn't top out as high as some of the teams behind them. And they've had some nail biters in games that you would expect a 3 seed to be able to bury.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's keep moving here though. And Stalika, the 11 overall, let's go back to the Big 12. There is Kansas, the 2 seed in the Big 12 tournament, third best Big 12 team in our, according to us though.
This was another team that looked like they were stubbing their toes midseason. They didn't look very good in their game against Tennessee on the road, for example, as well as a number of their Big 12 games early in the year. But eventually they've been the only team that's been able to knock off Baylor, and they've actually gotten not to their top of the Big 12 consistency, but they'll still be a national title contender.
Yeah, and they had that powerful, powerful win over UTEP it's a win. At the end of the day, I think it's a win.
Yeah, UTEP's on the 5-1.
Right? Oh, yeah. That's right there. Rocco. Rocco, let's go finish off the 3 line here, and let's go to another Big 12 10 team.
We'll love this team.
How about Oklahoma State?
Yeah, I mean, I ended up putting Oklahoma State up all the way at 9 today. I'm just really impressed with, you want to talk about 4 road wins, Texas Tech, West Virginia, Oklahoma, and Wichita State. Obviously, Wichita State not as strong as the other 3, but they're a team in the field. And if you look at the overall board, at least my field, they have 9 wins against the field. That's second highest, tied for second highest with Baylor and Michigan. Only Iowa has more with 10. I think committee is going to look at that very closely. And all the quadrants have really – balanced out, and they've gone in Oklahoma State's favor over the last couple of weeks on this nice win streak. That road win at West Virginia might have been the biggest result of the day, all day Saturday, for the top of the seed list. I was just super impressed to win that game without Likely and without Cade. And Cade just won Big 12 Player of the Year today. So I think sky's the limit for these guys. Obviously, the thing you don't like and the reason I don't think they'll get a two seed is because they got swept by TCU. But all the things they did right are pretty amazing.
Yeah, well, they should avoid TCU in the Big 12 tournament unless TCU upsets Baylor. I don't think they have to worry about that. But right. You want to throw in there also, they have a win against another team we put on this line. They beat Arkansas in the SEC Big 12 tournament challenge.
We talked about Arkansas having that win, that winning streak in the SEC, and we have to put a qualifier by it precisely because of Oklahoma State. Good job, Cowboys.
Yeah. Amazingly, talking of the Big 12, we've now put four Big 12 teams in the field. We still don't have the three seed in their Big 12 tournament, but I think it's about time we did get them in. Titel, Texas coming in at number 13 overall, our fifth Big 12 team here.
Definitely going to get them in here. Another team, though, like we said, from the major conferences, I think they're capable of sliding a line up with a good run this week, or a line down if they get upset early.
Well, do you go a line down? They start with Texas Tech.
I mean, they'd have to lose by a ton, I'll give you that. But yes, as long as they keep it close, they shouldn't slide a line. But it's also like, is there a five seed, like along the lines of somebody like a Texas Tech, for example? What if they make it all the way and beat Baylor in the title game? I don't know.
Yeah, you're right, because you could lose and not lose a bad loss, but have somebody else pass you because of how well they did during the conference tournament.
Titel, our selection committee guessing expert, doesn't know. I would venture to say, while not an expert, the committee would look very favorably upon that, beating Baylor.
I think they would too. That'd be a good sign there. I
think the rest of this four line though has some interesting potential, but also some pitfalls. So
Joby, let's talk about, because you hinted at them earlier. Number 14 overall, a team that might be a seed line lower than they should be, based upon the Colin Gillespie injury here, Villanova coming in here.
I think this is where they belong right now. You have one shot without him, and you lose to a CBI team, in Providence. Is that what they really are? They cannot afford to lose to Georgetown or whoever they play, Georgetown Marquette, the winner of that game. They need to beat that team. And then they need to beat the Johnnies or Seton Hall. If they do that, regardless of what happens against a Creighton or a Connecticut, UConn, et cetera, in the final, then I think they will prove, hey, we are the regular season Big East champs. We have proven we can beat who we're supposed to beat. Give us our three line back. And they might be able to climb up at that point, because then some of the injury factor that we are right now, because of the only evidence we have is the Providence game, we are right now overweighting that. Can they get to the point where that Providence game looks like a blip first game away? If not, if they lose one of these first two games, they'll be lucky to remain on the four line if a Texas Tech or someone from the five line gets really hot.
Yeah, Villanova actually has two injuries right now, because Justin Moore is also out for the Big East tournament.
You're exactly right, John. Thank you for mentioning that.
Right, and that's just, Rocco. If Villanova does make the Big East final but loses there, do you think they really prove enough, though, like as Joby says? Because all you've done is beaten a non-tournament team in Georgetown or Marquette and a bubble team that in St. John's or Seton Hall.
Well, I think you can only judge off what you've seen. And if they get to the final, by Saturday, typically the committee's got most of their work wrapped up, seating and all, mostly done as well. So I would say probably they would be close to where they started the week at. I don't think it's enough to move the needle unless some teams right above them collapse, themselves. So I think in this year, yes, these injuries are a major topic and they will be discussed, but some teams upper, just above and just below them might've had COVID issues, things of that. And just a bizarre 2021, almost every team's gone through an issue or two. And so I think the committee just really has to look at what's out there and what they did.
But if you're going to move up to the three line, our bottom three seed was Oklahoma State, and look what they did without their best two players. So, hey.
So you just take the results for what they're worth, right? That's kind of what I'm saying, too. Yeah.
Okay. Number 15 overall, Mike, Joby, I got to go to you real quickly on this one.
I'll be quick.
Virginia, you go quick, and then I'll ask Mike about number 16.
Virginia is a lot like Nova in that, hey, regular season champ of a major conference, but you got to prove more. If Virginia pulls the double, then maybe we can talk about the three line, but they need help. They need, Arkansas to fall on their face against Georgia or something, sort of help to get up there. But, and it needs to be pulling the double. It can't just be losing to, Florida State or UNC in the final. That's not good enough. And they're at risk of slipping further if, for instance, in that Syracuse NC State winner game, which that team will be fighting for a spot in the field, desperate. If you lose that game, all of a sudden you open yourself up, despite the ACC regular season title, to the five line. But there's chances to move up, chance to move down. Florida State's in the same boat, I think, by the way, almost because in that particular manner.
And Mike, number 16 overall, finishing off what it's called, we call our protected seeds here. We have our fifth Big Ten team. How about the Purdue Boilermakers?
Good job, committee. Yeah,
in the Big Ten, everybody talks about, Michigan, Illinois, Iowa, Ohio State, and rightly so. But, Purdue's, quietly put together a solid year. I mean, they swept Ohio State, and they're playing very well. I mean, I look at their resume. They have, they beat Wisconsin. They've a lot of quality away wins. They just have a solid resume. The only blemish is they have a road loss to Miami of Florida back in early December, but overall they've been solid.
Yeah, they really are, and I really like this Purdue team. I think that winning five in a row, also heading into this this Big Ten tournament here. Let's bring that bracket up again real quick here. Their path is they're the four seed. They may have Ohio State as a five seed, Ohio State team in their quarterfinal round game, which should be, they'd be going for the third time win over them too, which is not going to be easy. At this point, let's go back to the field here. And at this point, I'm going to do is go a full seed line at a time, beginning with the five seeds. These are going to be potential second round matchups for the four seeds. Let's see here. Tytel, why don't I start with you as we show the five line here. We've got Florida State coming in as a matchup for Villanova, Texas Tech as a matchup for Purdue, USC, the second place team actually in the Pac-12, coming in as a Virginia matchup, and Creighton as a second round matchup for Texas. Your thoughts on those four?
I like it a lot. Two of the things that stand out to me, Jay Wright against Leonard Hamilton. I think Jay Wright can outcoach him with a healthy squad. I don't think, even with Florida State's recent stumbles, that he can beat him with his third string point guard. And I still don't know what the heck Creighton's going to do now that Coach McDermott is back on the sideline, but I don't know what the psyche of the team is like right now.
Yeah. It's a team that had a bit of a schizophrenic profile with several bad losses at home to go with a lot of good wins. So it's a very strange profile for Creighton.
Thoughts on SC real quick. This is a little higher than where I thought they'd be.
Go ahead.
I still like them. I had them on the six line, so it isn't that outrageous, but probably a little bit recency biased. I know that they just won a big game against UCLA, but UCLA not exactly burning the court up themselves.
Last second shot too.
I know.
A blowout.
Well, therefore, it doesn't count, right?
You're beating a team that might be in a play-in game.
Yeah. Joby is furthering my point, and I appreciate it.
No, I was just joking. Go ahead, David.
You should further the point of genius. Thank you, Joby. but it just seems like they're in a bit of a tailspin right now, despite barely beating UCLA on a last-second shot.
Well, they beat USC. They came off before that the win over Stanford. Now, Stanford was an undermanned Stanford team that's been playing awful lately. But, Stanford is a team that up until about a week ago was on everybody's board as under consideration, at least. So,
Bad mountain trip. I'll take the Pac-12 champs over the Pac-12 runner-up.
I think right now the Pac-12 champs, Oregon, are playing better than USC. But their overall profile may not be there. But let's take a look at the six line to keep things rolling here. Salika, let me bring you back in. We do see Missouri coming in there at a potential old Big 12 matchup against Oklahoma State. We see Oklahoma against Houston, and it's an old Southwest Conference matchup. Clemson against Arkansas, Tennessee against Kansas.
I don't think Oklahoma was ever in the Big 12, but
they were in the Big Eight,
Southwestern Conference.
They weren't in the Southwest Conference.
But if they would be, you'd be right, Chad. If they had been, then that would be.
Okay, yeah, Oklahoma was not in there.
Oklahoma State was in the Southwest Conference, but left, like, in, no joke, in, like, 1922. So,
okay.
You know. I was going
1922.
Fans have been clamoring for this.
And I noticed that we did not get Missouri and Kansas in the same bracket. I apologize for that. But let's go ahead and, Sleeko, your thoughts on these four teams.
I think Clemson and Missouri are a couple teams that have quietly been putting together solid seasons. They've both had their occasional toe stubs, but in the case of Missouri, when you have teams like Alabama and Illinois that you've beaten, you're going to remain in the hunt, for example. And I think Clemson also has the win against the aforementioned Alabama earlier in the year.
Right.
And then Tennessee, Oklahoma, they've had their highs, but they've also been on the decline of late.
Yeah, a couple of notes here. There'll be some interesting matchups if this happened. Tennessee, Kansas played earlier this year. Tennessee blew them out, but it's when Kansas couldn't beat anybody. So I think it's a very different Kansas team right now.
Now Tennessee can't beat anybody.
Interesting Kelvin Sampson matchup there between Houston and Oklahoma. I'll give a shout out to Ty Tell for pointing that one out. Rocco, any other thoughts on this sixth line?
I think it looks mostly pretty good. You know, I do have Clemson down a peg today. I would exchange them for a team in the mountains. But besides that, I like it.
All right. Sleeko, you didn't have any Missouri actually anywhere close. You had Missouri about three seed lines lower. So I know you weren't high on this Missouri team, but I think if
I had both Missouri and Oklahoma because I thought they were being a little bit schizophrenic of late.
All right. But let's take a look at the seven line. Mike, let me bring you back in here. And there is that Oregon team that we just mentioned, along with conference mate Colorado. And then we've got LSU on the West Virginia bracket and Wisconsin with the Alabama bracket there.
Well, I pretty much had the same thing. I personally had Wisconsin down to an eight, but that's, here the difference is very small. I had UConn on the seven line, but again, like I said, the difference is small, but it's a solid. I pretty much agree with the seven seeded teams here.
Tytel, what about these two Pac-12 teams here, Colorado and Oregon, both coming in after USC, but maybe both playing better than SC right now?
Yeah, I mean, if the miraculous corner three from USC had not gone in, I could see even more credence to your point, but the fact is that they did make it and it was a lucky shot, but it went in and it won a game on the road against a good team. These teams are certainly playing, I think, the best of anybody. It's hard to ignore their tier three losses because there's more than one of them, but they do have some good tier one stuff. And no, I think this is a good place to put them both.
Okay. Well, we're starting to cruise right along here. Let's see here. David, let me talk to you about the eight line here.
Let's talk about the eight line.
Gonzaga's opponent is Vatech, Baylor's potential opponent is San Diego State, Michigan and Florida in the same bracket, and Illinois and BYU in the same bracket there.
Yeah, Vatech, I actually like them a little more than this. Maybe not a whole lot more, but I think their resume is a little bit better than – it doesn't have some of the dead weight on it that Colorado has. But, again, this isn't totally out of the scope of where I think they would be. I don't think they would really even compete with Gonzaga. I don't know who they're going to play in the 8-9.
Nobody's going to compete with Gonzaga. But
San Diego State is interesting. I think that like they had the two losses to Utah State, I believe. And outside of that, they've been exceptionally very good. They had a nice win against UCLA earlier in the year. The one thing that when I look at it that always gives me pause about them, and I realize that this is just something I weight very heavily, is the lack of notable road wins. Like Arizona State's okay, but Fresno State is garbage. Air Force is garbage. I'd like to see that. I would have liked to have seen them done more away from home before solidifying them in the top half of my bracket,
How about some neutral court wins in Vegas? That might help a little bit. With the Mountain West
tournament. Oh yeah, it definitely would.
But the other half here, Tytel, we've got this BYU team in here. I got their profile up. They already lost to Pepperdine once on the road this year. They're going to be playing them late tonight in the semifinal. can they stay in the eight line if they lose that game, or are they, or how bad would they fall if they lose that?
Fascinating question. That would be a tier 2.5 loss or so. I agree. I didn't think about that because I still think they're going to win, but no, there's merit to that. Sure, I'll go with that.
Okay. Now, may only end up being the difference between an 8 line and a 9 line, which right, is not much of a difference. But Rocco, I'm going to tell you.
And Chad, is there a reason why BYU has to be in a certain spot or not? I forget.
BYU does under rules have to be either in the East region or the West region under this screen. One of the two side regions, the region with the one seed or the region with the number four overall seed, because those two regions will not be playing on Sunday. And so,
Chad, BYU, I wish you put San Diego State with Michigan to make a potential subplot there.
All the first fours have to be in those regions too.
Yeah. The first fours have to be in the far right or the far left, the one seed or the four seed region as well. So we'll get to the first four games, and both the at large bid and the 16 seed ones. We'll see that as well. Rocco, let's take a look at a few of the first round matchups here. VaTech gets UConn, San Diego State gets Loyola Chicago,
love these teams.
Florida gets Rutgers, and BYU Michigan State.
Yeah, I think that would be a tragedy if San Diego State wins the Mountain West tournament to put them up against another strong tournament champ or league champion.
It's the type of thing we've seen before, though, too. So
I just hope they've gotten over those. And I think Michigan State is a little too high. They have great home wins. I just don't really like their road profile whatsoever.
Me neither. Here.
If you're going to shoot for the moon with a Big Ten, you know, middling bubble team, at least Maryland has road wins, although they've played like really bad
dog
last
poop.
Week.
Absolute dog poop.
They lost at home to Penn State.
Yeah, I just can't see Michigan State getting a 9 seed unless the committee looks at it as a punishment, knowing that they'll have to face a 1 if they win.
three top 10 wins in the last couple of weeks here. Not just three top 10 wins of the season, three top 10 wins in the last couple of weeks.
All in Breslin. But great wins, and Michigan already clinched the the league when they played that game.
So also didn't count.
That was a night. It did count. It's just not as it lost a little luster for me, but I know it counts the same, so I'm not treating it any differently.
Trust me, I guarantee you, Michigan did not want to let little brother up from the floor.
But if you're Juwan Howard, why not just take a little lump before you go into big time competitive mode, Big Ten tournament, NCAA? As a fan of Michigan, I'd be okay with that. Besides the pride factor.
Well, let me give one other person here.
This is what Minnesota could have been.
I was going to ask you about Michigan State as well, because you didn't even think they belong in the field right now, which I cannot figure out. So I want you to defend that.
If he didn't have them in the field, how the hell are they on the 9 line?
He had them as his first team out. Because somebody thought they were an 8 seed.
This looks eerily similar to a Minnesota profile, except that Sparty is actually one or two games on the road, and they're a bit healthy. That's not to say that ultimately they won't get in the field. I think they will.
Hey, John, that those team managers made up for the Cameron crazies completely.
Hey, Chad, I thought that was a perfect view you just had pulled up, because if you look on the right-hand side, you'll see they had 6 different chances to beat tournament caliber teams on the road, and they went 0-6. Duke and Indiana are not tournament caliber. So that's what my problem is with these guys.
Okay, I understand that. What if they pick up the Maryland win? What if they get the wins in the Big Ten tournament? I think there's still a shot at the 8-9 range here for this team, especially the way they're playing right now. They're playing great basketball.
Yeah, no, I'm not disagreeing that. I just don't I don't think they're all the way there yet. But punish them with a 9. That's cool.
I agree with Rocco. They're not all the way there
yet. And 9, you're right, Rocco. The other thing is 9 might be more of a punishment than a 10, just because you have a potential 1 seed in the second round as opposed to a 2 seed. It's a much tougher second round game. But let's pull up those 10
seeds. Punishment for Michigan State or a punishment for Illinois?
Tytel, the 10 seeds. We have Georgia Tech against Colorado, the Bonnies against Oregon, Maryland, who just mentioned, against LSU, and North Carolina coming in against Wisconsin.
Fascinating stuff here. We got Josh Pastner returning to his Arizona days, although I think he's so old that Colorado might not have been in the Pac-12 back then. The Bonnies, man, they're playing really well, but you do not want to face the Ducks in March. Dane Altman just hasn't going too good, so I don't think the Bonnies can win that one. I don't know how many Big Ten teams do we have in now, Chad. It seems like there's 10 of them already.
I think there are. I think at least 9 Big Ten teams that we end up getting. I think this is the last Big Ten team in. But we have so many of the Big Ten in this tournament. It is pretty crazy.
There's a team we're undervaluing, and I really hope they're in on the next line.
Well, David, what team are we undervaluing?
Wichita State.
Well, let's take a look at the 11 line then. And Mike, let me bring you back in.
I agree.
As we do see Wichita State against Clemson there in what I'm calling the Midwest region still. Also, UCLA, Louisville, and VCU on this 11 line.
Oh, my God, Louisville. Not again.
Mike?
Okay. Yes. thoughts on which team?
On all four of them. How about that? UCLA, Louisville,
Wichita State's a little – I think Wichita at 11 is a little bit too low. I mean, you know, when you know – I'm not saying they have a great resume, but they are the number one seed in the American conference. I had them as a 9, a 10 I could see, but I think 11 is a little bit low.
I got to ask the committee here. I thought we overvalued Houston a little bit, but we're undervaluing Wichita State, who beat Houston and finished ahead of them. I think Houston is better. I'm not suggesting that, but I don't think I don't think Houston belongs on the 3 line. I think they're more of a 4, but if you're going to put Houston on the 3, shouldn't you put Wichita a line or two higher than this?
Well, Joby, I think you had Wichita State one of the highest.
And full disclosure, I decided, you know what? We're getting so close to tournament time. I'm going to just enter the JNG because the entire point of the JNG is to reflect what the committee is going to do. The JNG values that American championship very highly. And they actually were the 31st team, thus one of the final 8s on my list. Will they get there? They're going to have to probably, also in the American, besides a loss to Houston, they will fall dramatically, if they're losing to Tulsa or what have you. I think we are undervaluing them because the one thing the JNG does is it doesn't necessarily, it's far from perfect, but if a team is an outlier from where conventional groupthink is, the JNG will catch it. And maybe we're in a groupthink of too low on Wichita State.
Well,
they have a road win at Old Miss, which is
first four out. Yeah, I
agree. Ole Miss is definitely a bubble team, at least.
The other thing that they have is, and I realize that you can't, I don't believe in the term moral victory, but what speaks to how good they actually are, took Oklahoma State to the wall, took Missouri, they were right into that game, played Houston tough at Houston, and beat Houston at home.
There's no bad. I mean, at Memphis really isn't that good. But you know what?
Right.
Dang near Houston almost stubbed their toe last night.
Let's ask about a couple
worst losses to a team that's ranked 52 on the road.
Rocco, I know Dave wants to discuss them, so I won't let him. But Louisville, do we have them right? Are they better than this? Or are they worse than this?
I think they're right where I've got them. I've got them 43rd, which is middle of the 11 pack. And, right. And I thought they took a big hit. Like, I think for me, they dropped from 34 all the way to 43 with that home loss, albeit against a good Virginia team. They, they just don't have a lot of meat on the bone in terms of what they've done on the road. You know, David, we always go to that. They don't have a tournament win on the road. And, I think, if they're all hell breaks loose this week and a bunch of bid steals happen, they might have to sweat a little bit on Sunday if they get beat by like Duke or BC in the first game.
And then you say if they get by that game, that they get their shot to prove they belong in against Florida State in the quarterfinals.
They absolutely do. If they win that, I will relent. Rocco said he dropped them from what was it, 33 to 40. I dropped them from 48 to 48.
Okay. So they're in.
But in other words, you kept them in the play-in game. In all honesty, I will say one thing in Louisville, not necessarily in their defense. Louisville has a mind meld, cannot beat them thing against Virginia. Let's be very blunt here. Virginia fan walking into that game, I just assume we're going to win because we always do. We're down by 4 with 0.9 seconds, we still win. You know, it's just Louisville, for some reason, there's just something there. And sure enough, Carly Jones goes scoreless, third ranked player of the year candidate in the ACC. goes scoreless in the first half. I mean, it's just that sort of thing happens.
Let me ask another question about this line here. Titel, we've got VCU in as 11 seed. We had the Bonnies in as 10 seed. They're obviously going to be meeting on Selection Sunday in the A-10 championship game in Dayton. Is it just a, hey, the committee's going to put them in something like this, and whoever wins gets the higher seed and the loser gets the lower seed?
I think that's the easy way to go, obviously. If it's a 30-point blowout, we can discuss other options. But no, it seems like they're both right there, and I agree that one of them is going to emerge victorious this weekend, and by virtue of that, that's a good reason to pump up one and lower the other.
But the loser has no is pretty much in at this point, which do you think?
I think, but again, bid stealers beware.
Yeah, VCU has a weak profile. Pull it up real quick, Chad.
Let's do this real quick, because David, what I like about VCU's profile is not the quad one, because it's not there, but they have a very big quad two that with good quad twos, St. Louis, Memphis, yeah. Dayton, those are tier two A's, not a couple a couple blemishes, but they have a nice body of work there, especially the Utah State win, the Bonnies win. I mean, it's not great wins, but when you're talking the bubble, it compares better to teams with not much with that we're looking at.
I like the win at Dayton. Dayton normally pretty solid at home, and Memphis neutral. St. Louis wasn't the best road team either. So, but anyway.
All right. I'll compare it there. I put it up there. UCLA, they've got more in tier one and two combined than UCLA does, who's another team on the same line, for example. And they both have two losses to teams not in the field, you know?
Yeah.
But let's, Sleeka, let me go to you as we reveal the first of our two first four matchups. There's only four teams left that got in through the balloting. Eight teams actually, they'll be on the 12 line total. Two of them will be teams that were below the bubble. But beginning on the 12 line, Sleeka, with our first of the matchups, it is the Nico Medved special, Colorado State versus Drake.
Drake made it. Good job, committee, I think.
I had a feeling Colorado State was going to get in just because they were at least getting some quantity of wins against the top of the Mountain West, sponsored by Conex, Bocon, AGG. And then there's a team like Drake that's had the gaudy record here. They could have used at least one more win against Loyola Chicago, but as Chad pointed out in our notebook last night, they've maxed out their games in the regular season. So they're just all their hay's in the barn. They're going to have to wait until Selection Sunday.
Yeah, and these are profiles, again, that Rocco, you kind of hold your nose at them, but but they're better than anything else that's out there. Kind of
yeah, I feel like I want to give them both hugs compared to what's coming next. Yeah. And, you know, hats off to Drake for battling really hard with shorthanded team last week, and hopefully there's enough time between now and the start of the tournament to get Hemphill back. There's a pretty high likelihood they'll have to play in the first four. So he's got about 9 more days to get ready. So
yeah, hopefully he could be ready. Hopefully they get in and get that bid. Titel, let me bring in for the final two teams that made our field, our last first four matchups over in the right side there. Boise State and Syracuse.
No, committee, no. No.
I'm not seeing any Xavier on this.
They don't belong in
somehow. Xavier does not belong on any list. Okay, not in my top 55.
Boise State and Syracuse end up being our last two teams in. How about Boise State first of all? Do they belong in? And then we can debate the Syracuse thing a little bit more.
I would put them in by the hair of their chinny chin chin, as the old rhyme says. But I agree that like a first round exit this week is the last thing they need, obviously. I mean, every team on the bubble obviously needs to avoid a loss this week, but especially Boise, just because who would they play? Nevada?
Very dangerous.
Who has their number?
They would have got swept. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it just me or Xavier doesn't have a road top 100 win?
BYU. And Colorado State.
Okay. We just spoke about this.
I'm referring to Xavier.
Xavier hadn't played
Xavier,
either.
No.
Yeah.
Xavier's best road win is 119.
Rocco, there's Xavier, who has the Creighton and the Oklahoma home wins, and that's it. There's Syracuse on the right, who has Clemson and North Carolina home wins and Virginia. I guess 3 good home wins versus 2 good home wins. Is that why Syracuse got in this field?
I don't know why either would get in, honestly.
Okay. I think recency.
No, I mean, I can't stand either road profile. And when it comes down to the last couple spots, or heck, in this case, it's the last spot. Yep. Just go back and play back in your mind what every committee says to you. And I know you're not guessing the committee, so sorry, that's what I'm doing. But they always say, who did you play? Where did you play them? And who did you beat? And Xavier, Syracuse fail at both of the basically all those questions.
Yeah, let me show you the top
Xavier
four teams.
Xavier has only beaten two teams in the past month.
I'll tell you here that Xavier was actually our third team out. Above them were St. John's and Utah State. Below them, Ole Miss. So let's take a look at those other two teams, though. St. John's and Utah State. Joby, would you have had either one of these teams in above Syracuse or both of them? But you can only choose one.
No, I mean, we love to rag on Syracuse, but Syracuse at least is, at least has done better lately. So,
but you want to go road profile? You have it there with the Johnnies, don't you?
Yeah, the Johnnies are.
They have a Connecticut Tier 1 win, but Syracuse has an NC State win, for what it's worth. And Providence Marquette, come on, come on, guys. The CBI road win, NC State's at least NIT road win. One road win, okay, fine, but then you've got DePaul loss at home that just drags you down. It's a bad loss. I actually go with Syracuse because of the way they're playing, but the Johnnies play Seton Hall. If the Johnnies beat Seton Hall, then and Syracuse plays NC State. So we're going to be able to make a compare and contrast pretty easily. And so I think the tournaments themselves will tell us on a St. John's versus Syracuse, if that's what the debate the committee will be having. And then both teams run against Villanova in one side and Virginia in the other. So let's game on.
Tytel, let me ask you, if you're talking about the top of the profiles, at least all four of these teams we've looked at, Syracuse, Xavier, St. John's, Utah State, hasn't St. John's had the best top of a profile? Don't they top out the best with the Nova and Road UConn wins?
I would agree with that, but again, not to repeat what Joby just said, but it's a good point. Like that, the Paul loss is atrocious, right?
It is atrocious,
and it's recent. It's relatively recent.
You know what else is atrocious? Syracuse.
I guess there's one other team to mention here. Our fourth team out, Rocco, Ole Miss. They got the Tennessee and the road Missouri, and the sweep of Missouri actually, but again, some atrocious stuff on the bottom.
Yeah, so this is a very difficult decision. Let's be honest. But the reason I took Ole Miss as the last team, and I think I'm pretty unpopular for it, but that's okay.
No,
look at the win at Missouri, and then you've got the sweep over Missouri actually, and then the Tennessee win to back that up. A nice set of road wins at Auburn and Mississippi State. If you look at all the options that are out there, that's a win over 45, 69, 78. And then a 134. If you look, I basically wrote them all down by hand, all the road wins. And Ole Miss stands out above the rest. They're 50 in KenPom. They're 53 net. So metrics wise, they're kind of in the middle of this group. There's no big outliers. I think they would be a sneaky last team in for this very second. They obviously have work to do this week.
And I think, they got to beat South Carolina, obviously. LSU, interesting game, winnable game, I think. And that might be the one if they get that one, they may have something that none of these other teams have.
They jump these other teams if St. John's doesn't beat Villanova and Syracuse does not beat Virginia.
Mike, let's go at six more teams that got votes. These guys are a little bit further out there. We had St. Louis, Seton Hall, NC State, SMU, Memphis, and Duke. One of you voted Duke in your top 55, not into the field, but in the top 55. So among your top six or seven teams out, but only one of you did that. But Mike, is there anybody in that group that you think has a real realistic shot to jump all the way up into the field here? Not like, hey, you win you make it to the conference tournament final, but you win one game, lose one game type of thing, jump.
No, I mean, not really. I mean, like St. Louis doesn't really have much of a chance because they can't help themselves.
There's talk of them trying to schedule a game this week.
You mentioned Duke and who else?
Duke, we got Memphis, SMU, NC State, and Seton Hall in that group. It's a pair of American teams that, you know, the Seton Hall team.
Yeah, because the thing is, like a Memphis SMU, it's like by the time they get enough wins, they'd get the automatic bid. So that'd be a moot point. Maybe NC State, but, you know, definitely for sure they need a deep run to have any kind of chance for an at-large bid.
I think NC State is in if they win their first two games in the ACC tournament. But that means beating Syracuse. That's eliminating one of the teams in the bubble. Mm-hmm. And then beating who we have as a four seed right now, Virginia. If you do that 1-2 punch, then okay.
Yeah,
that's a lot easier said than done.
Yeah, right. I mean, all these teams sit in a position where I think if they get a big upset win in like the second game that they play in the conference tournaments, that they can have that chance to vault up there. Let's at this point, I'm gonna finish revealing the 12 line here. Two other teams,
a little rapid fire under the radar here.
These teams were both in as automatic bid winners. Winthrop already clinched the automatic bid. They get their matchup with USC. Western Kentucky, our projected winner of Conference USA. They had been above our cut line for the bubble until they lost to Old Dominion in the final weekend of their regular season. They dropped below it. They'd be Texas Tech's opponent here.
Yeah, and as good as they are, Chad, I think that they need the auto bid to get in. Winthrop, great season, only one loss on the year. That is a live wire 12 seed. Look out, USC.
Right. 13 seeds, Rocco. I know you're always a fan of the 13 line. Let me ask you about that. UC Santa Barbara against Nova, Toledo against Purdue, Liberty, who clinched the A-Sun championship against Virginia, a little in-state battle there, and Greensboro against Texas, who just
I like them all. I like
them all. Oh, the Liberty Virginia.
I'll take a 2-2 record on those four, but I think any of the four could win.
Well, yeah. Richie McKay, as you know, is the coach of Liberty, and he was Tony Bennett's number one assistant before getting the job at Liberty. So they play the same style as Virginia. So I don't think people want to tune in.
that would be a bad game to watch, honestly, just in terms of the pace of the game.
Calcio's Nova.
Self-depreciating humor.
How about a shorthanded injury like ridden Nova team would get a run from the Calcios. Wow.
The good news about the Liberty Virginia game is it will be over in an hour and 10 minutes.
Good news for Villanova fans is they would get to see some strong point guard play. It just wouldn't be for their team.
Let's take a quick look at the 14 line here. We've got Abilene Christian against Oklahoma State. Colgate, number 8 in the net, Colgate getting in the field against Houston.
Colgate has played two teams all year.
Three teams
all year. God, somebody in that tournament needs to beat them.
Navy's going for that tournament too, so they are now the clear favorite.
Army.
Army. I will enlist if Army beats them.
Southern Utah gets Arkansas, and Morehead State gets Kansas. Congratulations to Morehead State for winning the Ohio Valley tournament. Now you get to play Kansas. Enjoy your one night in
Southern Utah,
one week in Indy, I guess.
But, just shout out to Southern Utah. We normally discuss this on Under the Radar, but Southern Utah and Morehead State, drastic improvements from one year to the next. And Southern Utah, a former Centenary winner, all the way into the NCAA tournament. Good for them.
I will say this. Given Bill Self's history in the first round against double digits, I'm actually not exactly upset if I'm Morehead State. That's who I pull if I'm 14.
And Morehead State with the star there in Jedi Broome. So, hey, but let's take a look at the 15 line here. We've got Siena getting against Ohio State, Cleveland State against Iowa, South Dakota.
The Yotes!
With South Dakota State's upset loss tonight, South Dakota now the 2 seed, the pick to win the Summit League. They get West Virginia and the Lopes, Grand Canyon against Alabama.
Yotes and Lopes, two favorites of Under the Radar.
And finally, the 16 seeds, Gonzaga gets the winner of a Prairie View Norfolk State game. Sure. Baylor gets Northeastern. Michigan gets Bryant. And Illinois gets the winner of a Hartford Appalachian State game. Congrats to Appalachian State for winning the Sun Belt tournament, but you're in the first four because you have about dozen tier four losses.
Can I just say that even by 16 seed standards, that is a pitiful line.
And it's probably going to get worse as we
can get. It
is likely to get worse as more upsets happen in conference tournaments.
You're not going to see a 16 over a one. You might not even see a 16 get a lead at the under there's four, it's 16 timeout.
I'll tell you what I'd like to do is lead us up now. I'm going to run through each of you for any other final thoughts on either the bracket we did or anything else you want to talk about with college basketball. And Sleeka, let me start with you.
We had a great line from Mick Cronin earlier today.
Maybe, alleged line.
Probably getting back to normal.
Yeah. Oh my God, I hope that's real.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, he was talking about UCLA being the number four seed in the Pac-12, being the fourth best team, that they should be able to face the fourth worst team in the Pac-12. But unfortunately, he is not familiar with how the single elimination brackets work. But if we go by Cronin logic, he should face the number six overall team here in the second round and or first round. And who that? Alabama.
Yeah, it is alleged to be attributed to Cronin. We don't have official confirmation that he really said that, but it is Cronin like.
Well, it needs to be true
because he made some great comments over the years. Joby.
Yeah, there's a very interesting development thing that's happening right now. I think we all can agree the Big Ten and Big 12 are so much better than everybody else. You can see, look at our bracket, you know, look at the top four seed lines. But there's another conference that we have here that has over half their teams in and a couple of more that are NIT level, you know, if you go by the also considered. I'm sorry, a ACC championship does mean something this year. Eight teams in our bracket. It might be seven. I know Syracuse is the big debate here. But the fact of the matter is that's impressive, even if a lot of those are wearing dark jerseys. You still have, in a down year, you still have a lot of depth. Depth that, for instance, the Big East, the Pac-12 just don't have at the same level. So when we talk about a down ACC, recognize that you're still piling up wins if you have a good conference record. And that is why maybe you see teams like Louisville, Syracuse getting mentioned still in, despite objections like David on Louisville and I think a lot of the panel period on Syracuse.
I would note before I go to the next person here, as we record this, Northeastern's actually down in the second half to Drexel.
Pretty big.
That Northeastern pick of the 16 line could get switched very soon. But if they do come back to win it, but as of the time we started this, they were the pick to win the Colonial. But let's, Mike, let me go to you. Any other thoughts?
I think overall it's a pretty good field. My one bone to pick is I thought USC is rated a little bit too high, but the thing I want to say is that the conference tournaments are going to be really critical, because when you get down past the top three seeds, you know, the separation is very small. So how you do in the conference tournament is going to be very crucial.
I agree. Let's see, Tytel.
My bracket related final thought is in the upper right corner there. I do not recall quickly any one seed ever having a second round game against a team they went 0-1 against during the season. Obviously, there's a whole week ahead of us to pick it. But if Michigan State plays Illinois, that is rough for Illinois. My non-bracket final thought is about a certain team that is very special to one of our panelists tonight. And hopefully there's a screen share to go along with it. So I wanted to show these four images. This is something that is from 30 years ago, 1991. So we have 2011 Pac-10 Player of the Year, Derek Williams. He was born in 91. We have Hall of Famer running back Red Grange, died in 91. He actually planned to play basketball at Illinois, but changed his mind after joining the football team. I think it was a good decision. We got Thurgood Marshall in the lower left. He announced his retirement from the Supreme Court that year. And last, but certainly not least, in the lower right, computer scientist Tim Berners-Lee announced a new project called the World Wide Web. Maybe you've heard about it. The one thing we don't see that happened here in 1991 that's not here, the last year that Rutgers has made the NCAA tournament. Until now!
Until now. It should have been until last year, but until now. Yes.
Chad, keep your players locked in a hotel room. They're not allowed to go out.
That's what they're doing. We're locking players in hotel rooms.
We are locking them up. We're going to seal the hotel rooms with sulfate. They are not allowed to go anywhere near any other living human being for the next 10 days. I guess they got to play these games in the Big Ten tournament. But let me go over Rocco to you.
Yeah, a couple quick thoughts. So I think it was very interesting to see how the SEC wrapped up the regular season. Missouri lost at home to every SEC team on the board except Alabama, but they gave away road wins to LSU to wrap it up. They also gave it away to Arkansas, to Florida, and to Tennessee. I thought it was a very creative way for the SEC to make sure they got all these teams inside the first 32.
On purpose, yep.
Yeah. And so then also I just wanted to call out Michael mentioned earlier Eli Brooks's injury. We're also going to keep our eye on Mr. Weiskamp from Iowa, went down with an ankle yesterday. Jack Nunge also banged up as well.
Yeah.
So that could be a big storyline this week in the Big Ten tournament. Make sure to pay attention to that. And then lastly, I think just on the bracket piece, the Loyola Chicago, of course, comes in with unbelievable metrics and a Valley championship, but a questionable resume where they lost to Richmond and Indiana State. So, you know, now we're in this new net era with not a lot of history. We did see a team in 19, Wofford, get seeded seventh and rewarded for great metrics, essentially. And I could see Loyola Chicago getting as high as seven. And I think a couple teams right above them fall, I'll probably have them there by Sunday.
I would not. I agree with that. I like that. I think Loyola Chicago, I think we had them. They should have at least been on the eight line.
Wofford was legitimately
Wofford was
good.
A seven. Buffalo was a six. That I think there is a path, but they need help.
Yeah, you got to schedule hard.
For some reason, someone from CBS doesn't like Loyola. Like, he has him as a 12 and only now has him as a 10. But
are you talking about Jerry Paul?
Yep.
Yeah, well, he could be.
Jerry has Clemson as a four. You know, as the Clemson cheerleader on this panel, I like Clemson, but come on.
Jerry historically has never been in favor of the mid-major teams. He's always underseeded them compared to the committee, in my opinion. But let's finish things off here, David.
Anyway.
Let me finish off the show here.
Yeah, we didn't do an under the radar this week because we're covering a lot of that on the championship week video notebooks. You can see it already in this bracket projection, and it continues tonight. There has been utter carnage in the under the radar conference tournaments. Winthrop got through theirs with only one loss, a good season for them. Belmont did not get through theirs, although Morehead State arguably a quality team. But tonight you had Georgia State going down. You had, we've seen one seeds lose. We saw Elon win the night. It is going to be the 15 and 16 lines are going to be more like 19 and 20 seeds this year.
They might very well be. Steal a line from Ty Tellock, a 23 seed. On that note, let's go pull this down here. I do want to take the chance here to thank everybody for joining us. You can now look, if you looked earlier, you ruined the show, but you can now look below us for the bracket that we just revealed. You can take a closer look at it. You can also check out John Tytel's bracketology picks up top of the bracketology tab. He's updating them daily, I believe. Joby's J&G ratings are up there. Conference tournaments are up there. The survival board's up there. And somewhere either below or above us is going to be our video notebook we're going to record later tonight as well. But on behalf of Rocco Miller way down there in the bottom row, John Stalika in the center square, Mike Cha and Joby Fortson to his sides, John Tytel and David Griggs to my sides, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again real soon.